People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Giving is not a debt that we owe, it's a seed that we sow. Now some givers are motivated by guilt. Well, I better give, they're gonna know. Some are motivated by greed. I better give so I can get. But scriptural givers are motivated by grace.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Continuing by Grace.
Well, this morning we focus our attention on the churches of Macedonia. And the area known as Macedonia is in modern-day Greece, in northern Greece. And as Paul mentions the churches of Macedonia in verse 1, he is speaking primarily of Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. These three churches had been a part of the special offering for Jerusalem. And one of the Apostle Paul's responsibilities was to challenge the churches in the collection for the missions, for the needs of other churches, and in this case, the church at Jerusalem. So the book of Corinthians was written to the church at... Very good. All right, stay with me now. And so Paul is sending an offering to Jerusalem, and all the churches are giving in the offering. He is writing in 2 Corinthians to the church at Corinth, and to motivate them, he's talking about the churches of Macedonia. Paul is writing the Corinthians about the church at Jerusalem and about a special offering, not necessarily the tithes and offerings, but about the special offering that would be given. And so he's writing and speaking to them specifically about the church of Macedonia. So look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we remind you about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, the churches of Macedonia were churches of incredible grace and incredible faith. And they had an admixture. Grace was the desire of the Holy Spirit to help, and faith was to step out and actually do it. And God had used them in a great way. Grace produced the desire, and faith made it a reality. Now, if you and I give in a special offering, it must be by the grace of God. Grace produces that desire. But faith makes it a reality. And the Bible is clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I heard about a preacher's young son who went up to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, I noticed that every Sunday morning when you first come out to preach, you sit up on the platform and you bow your head and you close your eyes." And he said, "What are you doing, Dad?" And his dad said, "Well," he said, "son, I pray that by faith, God will give me a good sermon that day." And the little boy said, "I think you need to pray harder, Dad." Now, some of us may need to pray a little harder in the area of learning what it means to tithe or to give to the Lord. Because it takes grace, that's the Holy Spirit touching my heart for the need. And it takes faith to step out and say, if I give to the Lord, He's going to provide for me and He's going to take care of all of my needs. And so we see the word grace in 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. But then there must be faith. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think of many, many men throughout history and many women as well, who were women and men of great grace and great faith. I think of George Mueller this morning. George Mueller was a greatly used of God man in London, England, and in Bristol, England, and throughout the countryside. There were many parents who had died with diseases, and difficulties of health were abundant in the late 1800s in England. And there were orphans all over the country. And Mueller began to feel the burden for these orphans, and he began to pray, and he opened up one home and trusted God, and offerings came in, and he fed them, and he preached the gospel to them. And at the pinnacle of his ministry, there were, listen to this, 10,000 children in the homes of George Mueller receiving three meals a day and hearing the gospel taught to them. And they were hearing the truth of the word of God because of one man whose heart was moved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit touching his heart, and who by faith opened a first home and then another home and then another home until 10,000 children were being fed three meals a day. Well, this morning we want to see that whenever you combine grace and faith, there's going to be a result. And the result of grace plus faith is you're going to have a testimony. And so grace plus faith equals what? Testimony. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, how about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? For by grace are you saved through faith. Say this verse with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you have been saved by God's grace and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. Amen? You can tell somebody, I've accepted Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. You have a testimony because of the combination of grace and faith. And whenever you take people who have experienced the grace of God, and by faith they step out in the Lord's work, they're going to have a testimony to the glory of God. And what we want at Lancaster Baptist Church is a testimony to the glory of God. And we want to be able to say it is all because of God's grace and all because of a people who stepped out by faith. The churches in Macedonia were going through a time of real economic depression. And yet they were an example to other churches because they still had the grace of God working in their heart. And they still had the faith to trust God and to do what God had called them to do. Back in 1986, when we came to Lancaster, California, we were a small congregation. 12 people voted for me to be the pastor. They said, we'd like you to come and preach for us. And they said, there'll be no salary. There'll be no housing allowance. There's no medical allowance. There's nothing of this nature. But we'd like you to come and preach. And God moved on my heart by grace, by His grace. His Holy Spirit in me began to pull and burden my heart for the Antelope Valley. And then by faith, we came to the Antelope Valley. And we trusted that God would provide for the salary, and God would provide for the building payment, and God would meet these various needs. And so God's grace first had to work in our heart. Then we had to step out by faith. And today, Terry and I, and all of you that have been here, have a testimony to the grace of God. When you combine the grace of God at work in someone's heart with faith to step out and trust God, then you have a testimony. And I don't care what you're doing in the Christian life, you've got to have the combination of God's grace plus faith in order to have a testimony. And because we stepped out in 1986 following the grace of God, believing that God could work, we've seen the Lord do so many wonderful things. We've seen thousands of people. In fact, in these buildings, more than 30,000 people have prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But all of these things began when God moved on our hearts, and by faith we stepped out. And whenever you take God's grace in someone's heart and faith in someone's life, you're going to have a testimony. You're going to have something to praise and thank God for. And I don't know about you, but I don't believe the testimony of Lancaster Baptist is finished yet. I believe that God wants us to continue by grace and to continue by faith in order that we might see His work in these days. And so I want to speak to you today about a testimony of continuing by grace. I want to encourage you to have a testimony that God provided for you and that God did something special in your life as well. Notice as you're taking notes this morning that we must have a testimony of continuance. A testimony of continuance. Now notice in verse 2 the Bible says how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now notice that these people were continuing through pressure. They were continuing through the pressure that they felt in their life. There had been a tremendous lack of economic strength, and difficulty was prevailing in Macedonia. Many Bible scholars believe the difficulty they had economically was because they were Christians and they were not being awarded opportunity to work and they were being persecuted and imprisoned. And Paul speaks of this in verse 2, the great trial of their affliction, 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and, notice this phrase, tribulations that ye endure. And so we see that they were going through great trials and tribulation. Notice the magnitude of the trial. The Bible says it was a great trial. Notice the misery of the trial. The Bible says it brought great affliction into their life. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, concerning one of these Macedonian churches, he said, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." So it was not easy to be a Christian in Macedonia, and it was not easy to give from Macedonia. They had a lot of pressure in their life. They had great trial and poverty in their life. And may I say that afflictions are not uncommon in the Christian life. Now, we think when we have an affliction, we think when the economy dips that we're really going through a tough time, and we think that when perhaps there's a change in employment or something like this that, wow, it's really hard right now. But I want to remind you today that there are Christians in places like Iraq, and there are Christians in places like North Korea who can't even gather to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And there have been many times when there have been afflictions in history on the part of Christian people. And this was the case at Thessalonica. But yet they continued with the pressure that they felt in the midst of Thessalonica. Notice secondly, they continued through the poverty that they experienced. Verse 2 says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, notice this, abounded under the riches of their liberality. So here they were in deep poverty. And I studied that phrase, deep poverty, and one of the definitions of it was rock bottom. I mean, they were at the rock bottom economically, and yet from their rock bottom place, they still had a heart. They still had compassion. They still had the grace of God working in their heart, which created a desire to give to the church at Jerusalem. But it was from this rock bottom poor church, they had a desire to give with liberality. And what a tremendous testimony the Church of Macedonia has become. How that God worked in their heart. Even though they didn't have very much, they wanted to be a part. Lancaster Baptist Church has never been a rich church. We have never been a church that just had so much in the way of wealth. But we have always been a church that has had much in the way of God's grace moving on hearts. God working in the hearts of people and people doing their best for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're at rock bottom today. And sometimes when people are at rock bottom, they say things like, well, one day I'm going to give and one day I'm going to be involved. And I want to encourage you this morning. Even if you're at rock bottom this morning, you can still be a Christian who feels the tug of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You can still be a Christian that lets God use you in the matter of helping others, in the matter of giving. And I want to give you just 7 quick little steps by way of maybe some counseling this morning about what not to do when you hit rock bottom. Just some things you want to remember when you're going through some tougher times. First of all, you want to avoid charging expenditures just because of the lack of funds that you have. In other words, if you're in a difficult spot, do your very best to live within your means rather than just charging and making the problem worse. Secondly, make sure that you are aware of how much you owe. Don't make the mistake of being unaware of how much you owe. Many Christians get to a place where they're having some trouble and they don't even live by a budget and they don't keep track of where they are, and the problems get deeper and deeper and deeper. Thirdly, make sure that you're not taking new loans to pay the old loans off. The exception to that might be if you have a greater interest rate and you're refinancing the house, something of a wise matter. But from the standpoint of just borrowing and borrowing and borrowing to excessive loan amounts, be careful about borrowing to pay off the previous loans in that way. Thirdly, be careful of speculation. I'm talking about that friend that wants you to buy their business. I'm talking about that guy that has a fund that's going to go up so greatly. I'm talking about someone who says, we'll make you 60% in 1 month. Be careful of speculative investments in order to get out of your difficulty. Be careful next to avoid arguing over finances. You know, it's been amazing how the Lord has led so many of our families in a spirit of faith and grace and unity in the matter of giving. And then let me say this, don't blame God for where you are. Never blame the one who gives you the breath you breathe and who gives you the blessings you have. And when you go through some difficulty, never get into the blaming of God. And then finally, let me encourage you, don't make the mistake of not returning God's tithe or giving on offering on God's day. You see, no matter how difficult the situation may be, whatever little bit God gives us, the tenth part is already His. And God wants us to honor Him with little, because He knows that if we'll not honor Him with the little we have, we'll never honor Him with the much that we might receive. Like the fellow that once said, I'm going to start tithing as soon as I win the lottery, he told me. I said, no, you won't. If you won't give to God out of the little bit you have now, you're not going to give to God out of the greater that you may have someday. And so don't make the mistake of thinking, one day I'm going to get involved. You see, the church at Macedonia, even though they were at rock bottom, when they heard about the need, God still touched their heart. And by faith, they did what they could. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so they had a testimony of continuance. The churches of Macedonia could have quit, but they said, we're going to keep moving on for the Lord. Notice secondly, they had a testimony of compassion. A testimony of compassion. Now notice this, if you would, in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And then notice at the second part of verse 2, how that their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, I believe, first of all, that grace produces compassion. Grace is the moving of the Holy Spirit on your heart. It is the inner disposition created by the Holy Spirit. And notice it tells us in this passage, in verse number 1, that the grace of God was bestowed. Grace was bestowed. In other words, it was given by God. Now, a lot of times we find that people are not having grace today. People on the opposite side, instead of having grace, they're having anger, they're having accusation, and there's a lack of grace. How many of you have noticed a lack of grace in the United States of America? People are just quick to get after each other. But whenever there is grace, there is God at work. In other words, if your wife says something to you that's cutting or unkind, and you withhold from saying anything back, and in fact, you say something kind to her, that's God at work in your heart. If your husband comes home and he's critical and says something that's unkind, and you withhold and look for a way to praise him, that's God at work in your heart. That's grace. That's giving grace. God bestows grace. God is the great grace giver. And the Bible tells us that God had bestowed grace on the churches of Macedonia. I know of some churches that have a lot materially, but they have little of the grace of God. But the churches of Macedonia had God's grace. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So grace was bestowed upon them. And then secondly, grace was revealed through them. For the Bible says in verse 2 that it was from the riches of their liberality, the riches of their liberality that they gave. Now, here is an amazing formula, and I want you just to think about it in verse 2. Some of you like math, and some of you like equations. So look at this equation here. According to the Bible, you first of all take great affliction, and then you mingle great affliction with deep poverty, and then you mix in the grace of God, and the result is joy and generous, liberal giving. Now think about that. You take these people and they put in their affliction and they put in their poverty. And from that we'd go, the Jerusalem saints are never going to get an offering from Macedonia because all they have is affliction and poverty. But When you put the grace of God in somebody's heart, grace is the difference maker. And because grace got in the mix, they had joy to give liberally and to do their very best. And what we want to pray is simply this: Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Give me the grace that I need in order to do what you want me to do. That's why we call it grace giving. That's why we've never had an offering where we say everybody gives the same amount or everybody. No. We want God's grace to work in everybody's heart in the way that God wants to work in everybody's heart. And so this was the testimony of the Macedonians. God's grace was at work in their life. And you know, it's amazing, and I've studied this over the years, and I try to study a bit about stewardship and giving, and you'll find the Macedonian story still being told today. For example, year after year, the state of Mississippi is the 49th or 48th state in per capita income, and they are almost always the second or third in per capita giving. In other words, the state that makes the least still gives percentage-wise the most in their giving to charitable causes. Now, I personally believe one of the reasons for that is the spiritual belief system in that particular state. A lot of Christians there who, though they don't have as much, they've got grace in the mix, and grace is making a difference in their life. And if you get what I'm saying right now, say amen. Amen. They don't have a lot, but they have a lot of God's grace. And I'm trying to teach you this morning, grace makes the difference. You go up to the state of Massachusetts, which year after year is either third or fourth in per capita income, and the state of Massachusetts is always 48th or 49th in giving, per capita giving. They have more, they give less. Why? There's less faith in God. There's less grace going through their life. So the churches of Macedonia prove to us that when God gets in the mix and when we have God in the equation of our lives, then we're going to do something compassionately, seriously, for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago preaching a Sunday night message about serving the Lord and getting involved. And I'm not kidding you, I think there might have been 30, 40 people in that service. And I was encouraging people about soul winning and serving, and let's build a church for the Lord. And that night, as we had the invitation, there were 7 or 8 people that came to pray. And there was one elderly lady in the church at that time. Her name was Clara Doherty. Clara may have been in her 80s, early 80s at that time. And I remember as I preached my heart out that evening, Clara Doherty moved out from her pew and she walked down. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder why Clara's coming up here. I preached about soul winning and preached about, you know, painting the buildings and all these kinds of things. And she walked up to me and she said, Pastor, she said, I want you to know, she said, there's not a lot that I can do, but she said, I can pray and I can pay. I'll never forget that as long as I live. She said, I can't do the physical things you're preaching about, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to give. I want to be a part of the work of the Lancaster Baptist Church. That, my friends, is the grace of God on someone's heart. The spirit to say, I'm going to do the best that I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, giving is not a debt that we owe. It's a seed that we sow as we honor the Lord with our giving. Now, some givers are motivated by guilt. Well, I better give. They're going to know. Some are motivated by greed. I better give so I can get. But scriptural givers are motivated by grace. And it's God working in their heart. And it's God leading them along the way to see the need, whether it's the children, whether it's some other project, to say, you know what, that is something I want to be a part of. And so grace produces compassion. And secondly, grace provides resources. Now look at verse 3. It says this, for to their power, speaking of the Macedonians, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now notice this, we see that they were willing to give. And Warren Wiersbe said it this way, Christian giving does not depend on material circumstances so much as spiritual convictions.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.